Get ready for some uplifting truth and fierce, fierce wisdom about love, sex, money, and power in the new world of feminine business. Hello, and welcome to the Sensual CEO Podcast. I'm your host, Dawn Todd. Hello, this is Dawn Todd, and this is the Sensual CEO. Today, I'm so excited and honored to have a conversation with Ananiya Sophia. For those of you who have not met Ananiya yet, she is an independent mystic of an almost forgotten faith, an author, a teacher of Kundalini Yoga, and she carries an oral transmission that stirs the remembrance of the Sophia, Isis, and Magdalene lineage. Her books include Open Your Heart with Kundalini Yoga, Sacred Sexual Union, The Rose Knight, and Fierce, Fierce Feminine. Ananiya lives in the Occitan region of southern France with her beloved husband, Pete, and together they take people out on their own grail quest into nature, where an initiation by the feminine principle is almost always guaranteed. So they have a Airbnb there, or bed and breakfast, where people can come and stay. Oh my gosh, Ananiya, thank you so much for making time in your schedule.
Oh, it is a pleasure to be with you, Dawn.
I have been, of course, have worked with you, have followed your work for years, and I truly consider you to be one of the very, one of the rare and authentic voices for the essential divine feminine on the planet right now.
Wow.
Yeah, I know, like there's a big backpack to carry, right? but I do think it's important to acknowledge that. And to really just acknowledge the huge impact you've made in my own personal life and the times that I've worked with you and the programs I've taken with you. One of the intentions behind this podcast is all about the connection between our personal authority, you know, as our own inner CEO, and the connection to our sensuality, our sexuality, and how those come together. Mm-hmm. And I wondered if you could speak a little bit about your understanding of authority versus surrender. Again, I'm going to put you on the spot, right?
Well, I believe that the feminine in both man and woman is seeking to find its authority. Mm-hmm. It is something that has seemingly surrendered, but I don't think that's what it has been up to for this last millennia at all. I, like many of us, feel that sort of second-class citizenship, can't say that properly, was not because we surrendered into that role, but possibly because we were coerced, mm-hmm. silenced, and threatened into that role. And so we, men and women who carry the feminine energy, an energy that wants to be more expansive, is finding that life is creating the most perfect circumstances for us to authentically find our authority. And that can be frightening. And that can be uncomfortable, and that can be outright scary.
Yes.
But it's necessary. It's necessary, and although it might not look like it, I believe it is all led by a benevolent force. Mm. Although at the time we will not believe that is a benevolent force. We will feel that that is a malevolent force. And maybe at the time it is, but at the end of the initiation, we can look back and see the whole thing was for our own good.
I love that explanation of it. That's really beautiful.
What we could say, just to finish your question, in that finding of our authentic authority, we can, and it's best to, surrender to the process we're in. And that might be something that we call a dark night of the soul, mm-hmm. or a little, you know, a little descent into the underworld. So that's where that lovely word surrender can come in.
Yeah, that's such a great explanation of it. Because it's, you know, if you are following the marketing of the divine feminine, right? There's a lot of information, a lot of noise about it, and not often a conversation about the balance of it, you know, like it's not about the feminine now finally, quote unquote, winning, right? It's really about bringing this back into balance. And I think this idea of being in authority of our life is vital, but it has to be balanced. And I think that's what you're saying too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And one of the beautiful hallmarks of an authentic feminine presence being around is definitely the more horizontal way of perceiving life, and that is through community. So the feminine isn't really that interested in I. What am I doing? How am I looking? How am I appearing? That's the superficial feminine. In the heart of the genuine feminine essence is, how is my community? How are we faring? How are we moving forward? And to me, that's a beautiful hallmark to know what's what.
Right, right. So could you speak a little bit about the fear that women often have about being in community with other women?
Oh, yes. Well, I would say the patriarchy, whatever this is, the patriarchy, the matrix, you know, the world with a little w that we've been born into, has a, we can call it program, we could say influence, we can say conditioning, that women from an early age look to compare and contrast themselves against other women and girls. And this is what keeps us all separate and all unable to trust one another and actually bond and grow and love and create together. So, and this is what we've been born into, and this is what we're growing out of. And so the new paradigm that we're entering, again, a good hallmark to look out for, is the thinning out of this compare and contrast. It's not about being more beautiful, more sexy, more young, more this, more that. It's about genuinely focusing more on your sister's ability to rise and shine and be radiant. Mm-hmm. So it really is a, you know, we are all sincerely, keyword, helping each other rise.
Right. Yeah, that's I love that idea that it's really sincere and that it's an aspect of the healed feminine.
Yes. Yes.
Beautiful. I know one of the things that you've been very focused on recently is the idea about the fierce feminine. Can you help us understand what that's about and what was the inspiration behind that?
Well, the fierce feminine, I always say it twice. The first distinction I really want to clarify is that this is not an angry woman. It's not an angry woman angry at someone or something in particular. Again, the classic hallmark of fierce femininity or sacred rage is that it's, again, I'm going to use that word horizontal. It's horizontal, it's wide, because it's not aiming at anyone in particular. It doesn't want to harm, it doesn't want to criticize, hurt, or inflict any kind of suffering upon. What it simply is just this wide, horizontal, non-negotiable no. Mm-hmm. It's not even the word no, it's the sound no, it's the vibration of no that is so understood when it's heard that nothing more can possibly think about pushing against it in case you didn't really mean it. It's like a new language is spoken, and we all know exactly what that no means. And so this fierce femininity arising in man and woman is really starting to be seen now on the streets, you know, in all of our countries, whether it's in the form of protesting, in the form of spontaneous, you know, theater upon the streets. Many humans are accessing this sacred, and it is sacred because it's beautiful, this beautiful awakening that is not going to lie down and take, if I may say, bullshit anymore.
Right.
But it's not angry or hysterical or dangerous women. That is not it. It can appear that way because maybe the authenticity of that very compassionate no has not yet been found. And so personal anger and victimhood is spilling, you know, into the mix. But when we've really hit those sacred places inside of us that cannot allow this to continue anymore, that compassion, that no is fierce and frightening, but it's also deeply compassionate for the change that we know that no is going to insist upon, and it's not going to be comfortable. And so there's tremendous compassion for the people who have to adjust to the no.
Yes, I, as you're speaking about this, I'm having this body sensation of a very, I'd call it like firmness of spirit. Like a deep grounding, but it seems to be mostly in the center, like between my throat and my womb. And not angry, certainly not judgmental, but firm, like,
yes.
This is just not happening.
Right? Yeah. Yes.
Not angry, not, and I can see if I, you know, the things that I might get angry, really angry about with it would be a reflection of what's unhealed in me. Am I saying, am I reflecting that correctly?
Yes. That feels absolutely right to me.
Right. So I think what I'm hearing you say is that this work you're doing is really helping people do their own healing so that firmness of spirit is not tied to an old wound.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Wow, such important work. And I can see, as you point that out, I can see it happening everywhere. How did you get inspired about this? Was there an event or something that happened that brought this into your awareness?
Yeah, absolutely. The first thing is absolutely the onset of menopause. I mean, if you haven't got into that yet, Dawn.
I have, actually.
For you and all the beautiful ladies listening, this is a really big moment for a woman.
Yeah.
This is a really big moment, especially for us women who are conscious and have the heart opening. So we're very aware of the subtle changes happening in our bodies. And, you know, especially if we have yoga in our background, you know, when these energetic changes clearly and obviously happen, we're attentive to them, and we will probably have an intuitive sense of what to do with these energetic surges that take place. You know, with our mothers' generations, they may not have had A, the awareness, B, the sensitivity, because of, you know, the luxury of our lives. We're not having to work in the mill, you know, for 10 hours a day, 6 days a week. We're not raising 5 to 7 to 9 children.
Right.
So we've got this wonderful expansive awareness within us, you know, most of the time.
Right.
So it's a different generation that's going through this menopause. And by golly, the character of the woman severely changes. And for me, writing this book, Fierce, Fierce Feminine, was absolutely brought into being because of the changes that were happening inside of me. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize it at the time. Now I can look back and smile and go, oh, of course.
Right, right.
But also, there was also another turning point, and that was at the beginning of this year. And you must have seen, you know, 2018 has definitely been the fall of the guru or the fall of the teacher.
Mm-hmm.
So at the beginning of this year, I had to find that fierce feminine voice for real, to really confront and use my voice, written and spoken, to say what needed to be said, in that, as you said, firmness of spirit. And I hadn't been able to do that up until this point. But with the menopause and all this new, ferocious, no bullshit energy starting to, you know, stream through my body, suddenly I had my hands on all the ingredients that was necessary to confront what was at the time a very scary person to confront.
Right. Wow, that sounds like it was a dark night of the soul experience.
Yeah, it was a turning point, because once I realized I could do it and the pursuit of me stopped, you know, I realized, oh my God, my voice has power. You know, I sounded my no and it stopped. I was bewildered for days that I had that presence. In my expression, I always felt I could be, you know, coerced or persuaded.
Mm-hmm.
But no, not anymore.
Do you feel like for women and men too, because it's, I think it's not about gender. Please correct me.
Yeah, I feel it's about feminine rather than woman.
Right. Yeah. Do you feel like you have to be in menopause or of menopause age to experience this radical shift?
No, not at all. I see this happening in the young 20-somethings, the 30-somethings. I believe we're all being guided towards this eye of the needle as a species, really and truly. And our position on the planet is up for question. And I say that not in a place of fear, but in a place of compassion and humility. And so we're all being backed into this corner to find this voice, to find this presence, and to see in the 11th hour whether we can learn how to live on this planet in union with all the other life forms or not.
Right. Yeah, I do think that we're sort of at a tipping point where we either have to demonstrate our mastery of all the things we've been speaking about for thousands and thousands of years.
Yes.
Or not, right?
Yes.
So something else that you mentioned in your note to me was the return of the Grail King.
Mm.
And I am so curious what that means?
To me, the return of the Grail King is the return of this counterpart that will stand in equality next to the fierce feminine. So let's just say this fierce feminine influence is looking to stream through our bodies, male and female, mm-hmm. where this influence is asking us not to be sheep anymore, not to follow blindly, but to question and find our own authority in our true yes and our true no. And then to speak on behalf of those who are having trouble finding their true yes and true no. This includes other humans and the animal kingdom and the natural world. Mm-hmm. If that is not met by a masculine counterpart, then we stand the risk of, some people wouldn't even say risk, others would say, oh, this is a great idea. But I say risk, that we stand the risk of going into another matriarchy or feminist-based new world. And we've seen that happen, and we've seen the patriarchal world happen. What we haven't seen, and that maybe ever, is where the masculine and the feminine is absolutely in union, and they learn how to live on this earth with all the other life forms and, you know, create all the new and fabulous technology that they need to create. But the natural world is also abundant and thriving, because the technical part, that's the masculine, and the natural vibrant world is the feminine part. So that is what it could look like. Mm-hmm. An explosion of abundant nature and incredible, mind-blowing innovations in the world of technology. And the two living in harmony together. Mm-hmm. That's what it could look like if this masculine presence can also be born inside of us. At the moment, as we can see, it's dying off rapidly. The old patriarchal, the old masculine model is dying 100 deaths per day.
Right.
We're hoping, with fingers crossed, and I'm sure this is what will happen, this Grail King, this new masculine consciousness, will also arise within us anytime soon. Mm-hmm. And my little two penneth is, and it must, because it has to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really a call for that healed masculine, the Grail King, to step forward. And so many times over the last year, I have felt like my heart just going out to men in general, and how difficult this new transition could be for them, because all the rules are different.
Absolutely.
And, you know, women, we've been kind of fighting for a while, and we've earned or fought for the right to make our own money and burn our bras and do whatever else we want to do.
Yes.
And then really haven't been given that luxury. And
yes.
So now we're asking them to step into something that they really just don't have a paradigm or a support system around. And that's why I think the work you and Pete do together is so vital. And probably one of the few places where people can actually find that kind of support and encouragement. Could you tell us a little bit more about the work that you do, and really how, you know, how can our listeners connect to this work and work that you're doing? Like,
well, I'd like to just put in one more bit, because it's so completely simple. I'd love for all of us to contemplate it and reflect upon it, because this could be the answer. So I've spoken to a few men who are leading the men's movement, and I've said, what is this going to look like? The majority of them have said things along the lines of, the Grail King or the Divine Masculine will honor the feminine. That is his only task and duty. And when I first heard that a few years ago, I was like, no, that's way too simple. That can't be it. But now, I think perhaps this is it. That if the masculine simply honors the feminine and all of his innovative experiments and creations and manifestations are in alignment with that honor of the natural world and the feminine, then really it really could be that simple. I just want to put it out there so that we can reflect, because it's like the eternal Grail question. Mm-hmm. You know, what does the Grail serve? That's a typical King Arthur question. But you know, what is the sacred masculine? Is it really that which honors the feminine? That's just amazing if it's that simple. But anyway, myself and Pete, we bring this conversation to everybody wherever they're at, whether it's a single woman, a single man, a couple in union. We're a backdrop, I guess, to which you can speak, and we will do our best to help the one or the two find their way in this new ever-changing paradigm of where roles and positions and everything is kind of changing place.
It's a moving landscape. That is a fact.
Yes.
It's a fact. So is your new book out yet, or when will it be published?
No, it's going to come out in the fall of next year. Mm-hmm. What is very exciting, I'm an author with Inner Traditions, and currently they've only been producing hardback and paperback books. But in the fall of next year, they're going to branch out into an audio line. And Fierce, Fierce Feminine is going to be their first audiobook. And they've asked me to narrate it, which I have beautifully accepted, because I like playing with my voice. And I'm a little bit of a storyteller. So this is great, because this means I can really bring this material to life and say what needs to be said in the absolute energy that it needs to be said in.
Yes. Well, one thing I do know about you is the profound effect that your voice has on conveying the information you're sharing. There's something really powerful that happens in the frequency of your voice along with the words. So yes. I'm personally delighted that that's going to be the modality, and also so grateful that we have this as a recording. That's lovely. So as we get ready to wrap up our conversation, what would you like to leave our viewers or our listeners with, I guess? Any final thoughts?
I would say over the next couple of days, whenever you hear this interview, to actually go out into nature and let it personally know just how much you appreciate, need, and have compassion for this incredible life support system, and to ask it whether it requires anything of you in the locality in which you live, and to pay attention to its response.
Oh my gosh, that's a beautiful idea. That is a beautiful, I will do that today. So.
Yeah, me too.
Yes, that's beautiful. And for our listeners, you can find out more about Ananya on her website at Ananya Sophia. It will be in the show notes, but it's A-N-A-I-Y-A, and then Sophia, all one word, Ananya Sophia. And she's got a very content-rich website with lots of opportunities to connect with her. And one thing I have to say, I was delighted to see your temple pass on the front of the website, which is, oh my gosh, what a value. And as I mentioned earlier, your voice is so profoundly healing, and temple pass gives people a whole year of all your transmissions and activations. And yeah, that's, gosh, that's a super good idea.
Thank you, Dawn.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much for being here this morning. And this has been Dawn Todd, the host of The Sensual CEO with Ananias Sophia.
Whether it's a conversation about sex, money, business, or leadership, or how those topics are all connected, you're guaranteed a new way of thinking and an urge to awaken your best self. This has been Dawn Todd on the Sensual CEO podcast, where we navigate love, sex, money, and power in the new world of feminine business. Want to be a guest on our show or work with Dawn? Find out more at lovesex.money or dawntodd.com.